This is Fresh Air. In the first week of January 1969, the Beatles embarked on an ambitious new project. The idea was to write and rehearse an album of all new songs, then unveil them in what would be their first live concert in years, and at the same time, record the writing and rehearsal process for a behind-the-scenes TV special. The songs got written, but the plans changed, eventually resulting in a 1969 film documentary and a 1970 album, both called Let It Be. Now, half a century later, Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson has gone through more than 60 hours of film footage and 150 hours of audio recordings from that project, and emerged with a three-part, six-hour documentary series that premiered Thanksgiving Day on Disney+. It's called The Beatles Get Back, and our TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
As I see it, there are two very different audiences for Peter Jackson's new Get Back documentary about the Let It Be sessions. There are the most rabid fans who will watch it and recognize instantly the stuff they've never heard or seen before. And for them, well, for us, because I'm part of that group, this six-hour Disney Plus documentary is a true treasure. For everyone else, the first part of The Beatles Get Back may be slow going. What you're basically doing is watching John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr rehearse and revise and procrastinate. They debate a lot about where to stage their planned concert and even what songs to include. At one point, they decide to revisit a lot of compositions they wrote and abandoned much earlier in their careers in case they could use some to pad out the set list. One such song, One After 909, makes the cut and ends up being one of the album's high-energy highlights. Another number, with a blatant country flavor, surfaces for the first time here, with Paul dismissing it as soon as they finish performing it. It's called Because I Know You Love Me So.
Wake up in the morning, I don't feel blue.
But there are joys even in this early stretch, because you get to see the original Let It Be documentary, directed by Michael Lindsay Hogg, take shape. At first, the Beatles and the film crew assemble on a cavernous movie soundstage to rehearse. On day one, the director actually approaches the Beatles and asks them to play more quietly, which raises a key question from George.
Michael, can you turn down your amps a little bit more than that?
What?
The conversation is just being drowned a little bit.
Oh, you recording our conversation?
Yes, their conversations, as well as their songs, were being recorded. And as tensions rose during early rehearsals, the cameras captured everything, including the moment when George responds to a casual call for a lunch break by telling his fellow Beatles, just as casually, that he's taking a break from the band. Effective immediately.
Can we go for lunch?
Is it lunch or is it?
Yes.
Leaving the band now.
When?
Now.
He ended up gone for days. The tension behind that temporary breakup is the drama that dominated the original Let It Be film, but it's only one of three major elements in Peter Jackson's expanded three-part miniseries. Part one, the first day of the TV series, is about the breakup. Part two is about the reconciliation and the energy infusion that comes when the group moves to a smaller and friendlier rehearsal space and when keyboard player Billy Preston drops by and instantly is invited to sit in on the sessions. And the focus of part three is the complete concert, which the Beatles finally decide to hold as an impromptu event on the roof of their own building.
You know, whatever, I'll do it if we've got to go on the roof.
You're the band.
You know, I mean, well, I don't want to go. I've got to go on the roof.
I would like to go on the roof.
You would like to?
Yes, I'd like to go on the roof.
Very diverse people.
The rooftop concert here, with much more music and material than in the original Let It Be movie, is the part that should excite and enchant even the most casual Beatles fans. The concert is amazing. And so is the group's joyful reaction listening to the playback immediately afterward. It's a great end to this particular story, but not to the story of the Beatles. Earlier, this documentary shows them rehearsing not only songs for the Let It Be album, but for three of their respective upcoming solo albums. They also rehearse lots of songs that would end up on Abbey Road, which they would begin recording immediately after that rooftop concert. And to me, watching and hearing songs like George Harrison's Something take shape, with input from John Lennon, is priceless. Something in the way she moves attracts me like a moth to candlelight. Something in the way. What could it be, Paul?
Something in the way she moves.
What attracted me at all?
Just say whatever comes in your head each time attracts me like a cauliflower until you get the word.
Yeah, but I've been through this one like for about 6 months. Attracts me like a pomegranate.
So my final verdict on the Beatles Get Back documentary is this. Even if you don't know much about the Beatles or don't care much about them, you should watch the final third of this new TV show. Then, after you're persuaded of their brilliance and are hooked, then work your way backward. But if you know and love the group enough to get excited by learning about their creative process and by witnessing it in real time, this new documentary is made for you. And for me.
David Biancooley is a professor of television studies at Rowan University in New Jersey. He reviewed The Beatles Get Back on Disney+. On tomorrow's show, Rebecca Hall talks about directing the new film Passing, which she adapted from a 1929 novel set in Harlem about two black women, one of whom is passing for white. Rebecca Hall's maternal grandfather passed for white. Hall grew up in theaters. Her mother was an opera singer. Her late father founded the Royal Shakespeare Company. Later in the week, beginning Wednesday, we'll begin a 3-day tribute to Stephen Sondheim, featuring interviews from our archive with Sondheim and those who worked with him. I hope you can join us. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham, with additional engineering today from Al Banks and Charlie Kyer. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.